Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text chosen for this evening is the 27th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 21st verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate then said to them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear worshipers of our suffering Savior, human life is precious. Human life is precious because God created it and sustains it. He is the one that gives life. However, all too often, the life that God created is not considered to be worth much. Consider those legislatures who are, even our own state, who are trying to decide whether the life of a baby is worth more than the judgment of a mother, the rights of the mother. And some bills are even allowing abortion even after the baby is born. On the other scale, other states have declared that it's all right to terminate those who are ill or those who are elderly and have no hope of recovering, and it's all right to take their life. Now, both ideas sound reasonable if God is not the author of life and he's not in the picture. It's the reasonable thing to do. The Pharisees also determined to be reasonable. They needed Jesus to die. They had disregarded all of Jesus' miracles, the words that he said to the people and to them. They heard him, and they disregarded Jesus' words about forgiveness and about the kingdom of grace. And so tonight, we see from our text that the Pharisees and the other rulers judge Jesus' death to be more important than eternal life. And as we look at our text and consider what they did, let us see how the Pharisees judged death as a solution to their problems and how Jesus judged death to be the solution to our problems. The Pharisees were the good people of society. If you had a Pharisee as a neighbor, you would love that guy. He was upholding the law. He was trying to do everything perfectly, just as God had demanded. He was upright when everybody else was not doing well. They were trying to hold on to the traditions, the ancient traditions of their sects and religion in order to uphold the people, in order to teach the people. And they worked hard to keep the law, by fasting and praying, giving alms, reading scripture, keeping the Sabbath. But the Pharisees had two problems in dealing with the law this way. First of all, they elevated the law to a means by which you could get to heaven by keeping it. And secondly, they despised all those who didn't keep the law as unworthy of God's grace and mercy, and despise them for their unbelief or their lack of standards. Today we call such attitudes pietism, thinking that we can be pious and that we must be holy in order to make God happy with us. Now, one would think that the Pharisees who strove to keep God's law would not be unjust, they would not trump up charges against an innocent man, they would not demand somebody's death. But in this case, their actions came from fear and jealousy. They feared Jesus because they didn't want the Roman armies to come and destroy them if Jesus was an earthly king, which they believed that the Messiah would have to be. They were jealous because the people were listening to Jesus and they weren't listening to them. They saw Jesus as one who spoke clearly with authority, and the people weren't listening to what they had to say. The Pharisees hated Jesus because he rejected their traditions and the laws that they tried to promote. And he pushed against when he healed on the Sabbath and had allowed the disciples to eat grain on the Sabbath. And when he sat down with sinners, all of these, instead of seeing how God is merciful, made them hate him all the more. They denied Jesus as the Messiah and as God. Now, instead of bringing them to faith, the rising of Lazarus from the dead, Jesus' words of woe against them, the children singing hymns to him, all of this induced the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees to want to kill him, to put him to death. And so in our text, when Pontius Pilate asked the people who to choose, Barabbas, the one who was a criminal who had killed somebody already, or Jesus, the innocent one, these leaders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas, the criminal, and crucify Jesus. But God says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, which justify the wicked for a reward and take away the righteousness of him from him." And so, blinded by Satan to all sense of justice, the Pharisees were also blind about the justice of God. For when Pilate washed his hands in a vain attempt to rid himself of the responsibility of Jesus' death, they and the people said, "His blood be on us and on our children." So little did they regard Jesus as God, they thought that his death would mean nothing, and they weren't going to fear about any retribution from God or anyone else. And so they brought this terrible curse upon themselves. For within 40 years, God brought the hated Roman armies to Jerusalem, surrounded Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, and many people died of starvation before the Romans came in and killed even more, and carried the remnants off to Rome for victory. And usually after a victory parade, the enemies were killed or made slaves. And that was the end of Jerusalem. Now, we don't have to worry about God punishing people for their sins. He will do that. We don't have to. What we need to do when we recount these things is to remember the same thing can happen to us. We can be afraid of God's grace or God's law. We can be someone who is jealous of God and his influence, and we can do some of the same things. This history should be a lesson to us then. We need to learn what sin can lead to. The Pharisees' hatred led to this judgment, this terrible judgment of condemning Jesus to death. Are we willing to walk in the way of sinners? Are we willing to follow the moral vice of unbelievers? Are we willing to take pleasure in what the wicked do? And the answer is certainly not. Not I. And yet, we live in a world where the easy path is to go along with everyone else and whatever they say or whatever they think. Certainly about abortion or living together without marriage or gay marriage or any of the big hot number items that are a part of the Twitter and other parts of our society. Now, it's easy to agree with the opinions of others and not push back, just to make peace. We also need to examine our lives to see if jealousy and anger and hatred are a part of our lives. Prejudice as well, because that's what led the Pharisees to their sin. And we need to, at Lent time, look at our lives, repent of the things that are wrong with us. Those sins put Jesus on the cross too. So as Christians, we don't just look at a group of people who put Jesus on the cross and say, they're to blame. We are to blame. We need to look at our sins the wrong attitudes that lead us to say hurtful things against other people. And St. Paul says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And that's what we need to look at in our life, especially during Lent. Since the Pharisees couldn't trap Jesus into saying something wrong, or couldn't tempt him or charge him with sin, they demanded Jesus' death as the only solution for their problem. That is, they needed to get rid of him. Many of them did not repent of their sin, and so they are spending eternity in hell, even though Jesus died for them and for their sins. By contrast, Jesus judged that his death was a solution for our problems. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests were not content with just condemning Jesus and putting him on a cross. After the morning sacrifice, they came out to the cross and started talking and mocking him, as we heard in our reading. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross that we might believe. When Jesus didn't do this, they certainly concluded, well, he isn't God. God isn't with him, and God doesn't care. He can't do anything. He isn't God's son. Now, the crucifixion is such a terrible thing, such a painful thing, that no human being could really think that God would put his son on the cross and let him stay there with all of that pain. But that crucifixion pain was just a small part of what Jesus was suffering. Because as we heard in our reading, the darkness fell for 3 hours. And that darkness was God's separation between him and Jesus. And that's why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer is, because of sin. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus was suffering eternal death, which is separation from God. On the cross, he was doing that because he loved you and me. He was paying for our sins with the punishment that we deserved. And because Jesus is God, he can do this for all people. Because Jesus has ransomed the guilt and shame and punishment of our sins, St. John says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Through faith in Jesus, God regards us as holy and without sin, because we are covered with the righteousness of God. Jesus has won the forgiveness for all, and through faith, God gives that forgiveness and righteousness to us. St. Peter wrote, for Christ suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. During Lent, we are to see the evidence of God's love. The Pharisees and other people saw the evidence of a man who was weak, who couldn't do anything. They saw that they could put him to death. But we're to see the evidence as God's love, that Jesus loved us so much that he hung on the cross for us. And we can know that Jesus has removed our sins from us so that we have the hope of eternal life. All these things are ours, not because we're so good, but because God is so merciful. Jesus has redeemed us with his blood. He has reconciled us to God through faith, and he has adopted us as his children by baptism. The Pharisees of our text had no hope like that in Jesus. They rejected Jesus because they tried to establish their own righteousness by keeping the law. And so it is today. Many people declare that they don't want to believe in a God who demanded such a death of Jesus. Or others reject the idea that one man must die in order to pay for the sins of all people. They imagine that God loves people so much that he just lets them into heaven just because they try to be good and just sort of disregard their sins. But that's a false salvation. That's a false God. They forget that God is just and he is holy. He must punish sins. But then they also don't see that Jesus is loving, and that he died in our place to save us from sin. This Lenten season, we have seen many people who have judged Jesus to be a loser, to be a focus of mockery, to be somebody who isn't worth much. And so the world continues in that attitude. But God judged sinners to be worth the life of Jesus. Jesus judged us because he loved us. And he judged, his life was worthy to be laid down for us so that we could have eternal life. And as we enter into Holy Week, we want to see that love. See the need for Jesus hanging on the cross and see the great victory that Jesus gives us in his resurrection. Because there is our hope. There is God's love. There is our salvation. May God bless our celebration of Holy Week as we worship Jesus for the ransom he was willing to pay for us and for all people. Amen.